It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Numbers game, just like the man said, good Friday morning to you. It is that indeed. From Visa.com, the VisaNet, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, and iHeartRadio. It's Gil Alexander. Jason Kahn is here as well. How you doing, Jason?
Good morning, Gil. How are you?
I'm good. Jason, I mentioned this to you yesterday. I live in a very nice building. There's a very nice desk downstairs, right, where they, you know, one of those buildings. Can't hear through the walls. But I have a lady in the vent. And every morning I wake up, and she is tearing into somebody who lives upstairs. And I do not condone domestic violence of any kind, but I will tell you, I sit there and I listen for 5 to 10 minutes, and it is startling how these people stay together. Wow. So every morning I have that entertainment before I come in. I almost didn't get to work on time today. That's what I'm telling you, because I was listening to the lady in the vent.
It's just her yelling one way?
Very little talk back. So I don't know if she's on the phone sometimes. I don't know what's happening. But they don't break up. People don't break up sometimes. You have anything to chime in on that in your history, Jason, that you'd like to share with us?
Nothing on air.
Okay. On the show today, Vinny Maliulo. We slow jam with Vinny Maiolio later on the show, though he'll be here by phone to talk about things from the behind-the-desk perspective. We will talk to Vinny Maggs later. Mark Borchardt, base winner on baseball, got some picks today. I have two baseball picks. After splitting my two yesterday, and really there were two games that were almost identical the way they played out, I had Brandon Woodruff in the Brewers against the Phillies. It was scoreless into the seventh. It was just a sort of mano-a-mano game, and then it was the Phillies who got on the board first with the solo shot, and they end up winning 2-0. And then I had the Marlins against Mad Bum and the D-backs. Same kind of thing, 1-1 late. But then as soon as they pulled Mad Bum, it's just, this happens in baseball all the time. Right when you get rid of the starter, I'm like, thank you, Lord. Right? Truth, betting, you know, the truth serum of betting. Please take out Mad Bum. Please take out Mad Bum. Thank you for taking out Mad Bum. Marlins get the runs. They win the game. So we split in the end, lose 0.15 units. I have two baseball picks coming up on the show as well. Let you know the tennis I'm playing this morning. It's one is already in the books. Team beat Isner. These are all in a parlay. Nadal is playing right now. Later, the two remaining plays, if you want to get in on those, Ashley Barty up against Aryna Sabalenka, which is the final in Madrid. I'm on Ash Barty, and I am on Casper Ruud. Casper Ruud on the men's side. He is my other tennis play this morning. Casper Ruud is at a prohibitive price, though, so again, it's part of a parlay, but it was a Team Nadal Ruud Barty parlay for those who are interested. Ruud taking on Alexander Bublik. So that's what's going on this morning as well. Yesterday on the show, we had picks from Jason Weingarten. How did Jason do on the show yesterday with his picks? Do you recall? No? Jason's going to look that up for us. Because we've been on a roll with all the guys making picks on the show this week. So we'll check on that, see how that did as well. Momentarily, Mike Palm on the show as well. Matter of fact, let's bring in Mike Palm now. Ladies and gentlemen, I haven't had a chance to talk to this gentleman pretty much since the nuts started. The Nuts, co-hosted by Mike Palm and Amal Shaw, every weekday morning, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern here on the network. He's also the VP of Operations at Circa Sports, of course. You can follow him at Mike Palm Circa. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Palmieri. How you doing, Mike?
Good morning, Gil. How are you? It's been too long.
It has been too long. First question on the top of my mind, and it has nothing to do with sports. You are svelte. You have lost a lot of weight. Please tell everybody how much weight you've lost, if you're willing to share, and how did you do this?
So right around New Year's, I just felt I was getting, you know, too big and uncomfortably so. And you know, we were able to play pre-pandemic tennis when Todd was still in town. At least got some exercise with that. And then pandemic hit, Todd left, all this, and the activities really slowed down. So on New Year's Eve, I weighed myself. I was 215, which is just awful. I hadn't weighed myself in a while. And really, I lived most of my adult life probably in the 175 to 180 range. And so I said, I got to make a change. So starting January 1st, I cut out soda. I cut out red meat and, for the most part, alcohol. Now, we go out to dinner, have a glass of wine here and there, but not the drinking, you know, 4 or 5 days a week like I had been. And so over the course of basically 4 months, a little over 4 months, I've lost just shy of 40 pounds. We're in the upper 170s right now.
That is amazing. Congratulations. There's only one disconcerting part about that for me, which is I don't drink and I don't really eat red meat that much. So for me, the only thing of that trio that I would be able to cut out is soda. By the way, it's Gil Alexander talking to Mike Palm here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Esports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Gay Plus, iHeartRadio. Congratulations to you, man. You look great. You and Amal getting along okay on the nuts?
Yeah, today's a big day. They finally pulled the trigger. A lot of pressure, obviously. Matt Youman's very vocal about this. And then behind the scenes, Mitch, Paul, Lombardi, I'm going to take the lead today. We're going to see how that goes. So I think that will help the show. And in this sense, Gil, because, you know, Amal has a wider variety of topics he can talk to. Like, you know, he can speak to NBA a lot better than I can. And even he follows college football more. So the draft thing, it's easier for me to ask Amal the questions than for him to ask me the questions. So I think that will do well with how the show works. Not that it's going awful. I just think that naturally it will produce a better product. So that's we're making the change today, and we'll see how it goes. And then Monday, Amal's out, and they're bringing in one of the network's better number twos, Paul Howard, to sit in with me. So that'll help as well.
Oh, look at that. Mike Palm and Paul Howard on the nuts next week for at least a day. Very nice. So Mike Palm, the number one moving forward on the nuts. Amal Shaw with his varying opinions on all kinds of things. We'll bounce off you. Okay, about Circa, you were telling Jason Kahn, producer number 7, that your Sundays at football season are already selling out. What's going on there?
Yeah, it's incredible. And we just want people to know, hey, if you guys are thinking about coming out for this next season for the NFL, don't wait. I mean, already the first opening Sunday is sold out. There's still general admission, but cabanas, day beds, chaise lounges, gone. Already sold out. And the next Sunday, I think the 19th, we're like 92% sold already. And we're seeing this booking pattern so solid now. Of course, capacity is coming back with the restrictions being loosened. And hopefully June 1st, we're 100%. But depending on the Clark County vaccination rate. But, I mean, just as a public service announcement, hey, if you want to spend football Sundays at Stadium Swim, Don't wait too long and get shut out.
All right. And when will we learn of any new survivor rules this coming year?
Yeah, we just had a meeting yesterday. We're waiting until the schedule comes out next week on the 12th. We will probably publish then within a week of the schedule coming out the rules and be set up to take entries Memorial Day weekend. That's our goal. Still debating. There's two topics we're still debating, Gil. The first one is, are we going to do guarantees in both Circa Million 3 and Survivor? The answer is probably 95% yes. And then what's that number going to be? There's varying opinions on where we're going to be at both of these contests this year. Tough because of last year pandemic and people couldn't travel to get out here. So how much did that stifle the growth of those events? I know Derek wants to be very aggressive with the guarantees. I mean, last year we were at 3 million for Circa Million 2 and 1 million for Survivor. I think it's almost a consensus that Survivor's going to explode this year. There's some in our camp, including myself, that think Survivor could have more entries than Circa Million 3. Maybe it's not this year, maybe it's next year. So what's that number for the guarantee? And then do we put any more wrinkles in Survivor to try to maybe winnow down the field? So think of it with 1,310 entries last year, 35 survivors. So if you got 4,000, do you want, you know, 100 plus survivors? Was it an aberration because of COVID last year that there were that many survivors and there were several poor teams you could pick against? So there's a couple of wrinkles on the table that would make it more difficult for people to go undefeated and get the bonus. I think Derek's pretty convinced he wants to continue to have an undefeated bonus. So just a few things to iron out, and 4 weeks people will know. We'll have the rules posted, and then end of May we'll be signing people up.
Only one follow-up question on that. Is one of the potential wrinkles, if you're willing to share, could one of the potential wrinkles be just what you said, that you're only allowed to pick against certain teams once?
No, that's not on the table.
Good.
That would be really changing the nature of it.
Yes,
so
it would.
This would be this would be adding something in either adding something in one of the weeks or adding maybe a Saturday at the end of the year to get you to 26. We're to 19 now because of the 17-game schedule, right? And Thanksgiving's still going to be its own day, which considered a week. Do you add a Saturday at the end to make it 20 picks where you have a three-game setup? Or do you throw a wrinkle in week 17? So there's really like three options on the board, or not, or do nothing, right? Or just it's 19 picks now with Thanksgiving included and see how it plays out. So we're not really in agreement right now.
All right, we look forward to it. By the way, I'm killing any diet I have by going to Barry's tonight at Circa. I should point that out as well, Mike. So I'm excited. My inaugural.
Barry's is unbelievable on Andiamo, and I got to tell you, Gil, I love 8 East. I'm guilty of 8 East about 3 times a week.
Yeah, 8 East is phenomenal as well. All right, baseball, Mike. Talking to Mike Palm, of course, host of the Nuts, and Mike from Circa, as everybody knows him originally. All right, how has your season gone? And are you finding that the parity, because obviously, you know, we saw all those stats yesterday, through 30 games, there's never been more parity in baseball. You'd have to go back to the late 1800s, I think it was 1876, to find a year where we didn't have a team better than 18-12, for instance, through 30. The entire National League is separated by 6 games. Do you find that informs, that pre-flop betting has been more difficult for you this year, or has that not affected it for you?
I don't know. I've never been a guy that wants to lay more than 160. So, you know, I started with trying to martingale the Dodgers after a loss. I picked up four units. I was gone Tuesday, so I didn't get involved with that doubleheader. I lose the game on Wednesday, and I'm giving up on it now. I mean, they're just not the team we thought they were, the team they were at the beginning of the year. Too many injuries. So pass. I lose 1.55 units on Wednesday, so still up 2.45 with the theory, but I don't want to get into it because I really believe this team at full strength wasn't going to lose 4 in a row all year. I can't say that right now. I mean, what are they, 3-14 in the last 17 games?
Yeah,
it's really amazing.
Really amazing, yeah.
I really haven't changed much. I'm still a first five better. Look for pitchers that the market hasn't caught up to their value yet.
Give me some of those names, Mike. Who are some of those pitchers, those starters?
I think I have one today. I think Chris Flexen is one in Seattle the market really hasn't caught up to. I don't know why he's a dog today against Fulton Evans, who still isn't really back to form. I know he's pitched better his last start than his first four, but Flexen is a guy that's really flying under the radar that I think you get value with. That's one example. I'm not sure the market's caught up with Aaron Civale of Cleveland yet. I mean, his prices are very reasonable yet. I mean, I think his stuff, he's going to be as good as Bieber, if not this year, within the next year or two. He's that good. And you saw him, we get lucky with him that they rallied in against Kansas City, but really short favorite, 115, 120 at Kansas City. So there's some young pitchers, McKenzie for Cleveland.
Love
this
McKenzie.
Cleveland staff is really strong.
Yeah.
Really strong, but they're names that are still under the radar.
How about the opposite of that? Are there guys, you know, it's been dicey too, right? Mad Bum was a complete fade. Then he goes and throws the 7-inning no-no. Looked pretty good yesterday till they took him out. That was the best part that happened in that game was when Mad Bum left, not when he showed up. Are there guys that you feel are chronically overvalued?
Well, you know, a guy that I made so much money off of last year, Kenta Maeda, right now at this point is, to me, somebody you can fade because he's still perceived in the market as the guy that finished second in the Cy Young voting and had a 7-1 year with the Twins last year, and he could have easily been 10-1 because Rogers blew 3 saves for him. If you watch Maeda pitch, you know, he's not challenging hitters anymore. He gets to 2 strikes, and now it's just everything is a slider down and away, slider down and away. The strikeout-to-walk ratio is way off from last year. So I'm right now on the fade Maeda mode. on the opposite end of that, we scored a lot of runs yesterday, but I think Ryu, after having a year in the American League, he didn't have his greatest outing yesterday, but and he's coming off the DL, but look at the strikeout-to-walk ratio. It was so good with the Dodgers 2 years ago when he was a Cy Young candidate most of the year. Then last year, you know, adjusting from the NL West to the AL East, probably the most difficult adjustment there is just for the ballparks. And that was a year of adjustment with Toronto for him. Look for Ryu to have a big year now. You see that strikeout-to-walk ratio back up close to 9-1, where it fell down last year to be about 3.5-1. I mean, it was ridiculous over 12-1 with the Dodgers 2 years ago, but I think Ryu will be strong the rest of the year.
Think about the embarrassment of riches with the Dodgers. They had no room for Ryu, no room for Maeda. By the way, look at the slate today. There's Rich Hill. There's Ross Stripling. All these guys just littered around the league. So besides Flexen and the Mariners today, and is that a first five bet? Did I catch that right, Mike? First five on Flexen?
Yeah.
Anything
I
else?
I'm going to play Rondon with the White Sox. I mean, this is Kansas City. What a great start they got off to. But blowing three multiple run leads to the Indians, and they get shut out yesterday by McKenzie. And I mean, Rondon, I thought he would bounce after the no-hitter. He didn't. He came back and beat the Indians again. I've been really impressed with him. I mean, he doesn't let anybody on base. And Keller's been awful. Keller's got a whip over two. I mean, and you'll lay 140, 145 today with the White Sox.
All right. Mike Palm again, host of The Nuts, 11 a.m. weekdays here Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern on the network, along with Amal Shaw, 1 hour a day, Monday through Friday. Hockey. I know that's your other favorite thing to bet this time of year. Someone's landing on the sport of hockey right now today, Mike, and you know how many casual hockey fans there are who show up for the playoffs, sort of like a college basketball thing before the tournament. What would you say to them if they ask you, look, I want to make one futures bet, maybe a couple, maybe it's a conference, maybe it's for the whole cup. What would you say to them right now?
I made one bet, and it was last week. I sat there all year. I couldn't really find anything I liked, any value. I don't want to bet these teams at 7-1, 8-1, 10-1. I just don't think hockey is, as you know, Gil, is too wide open. I mean, Tampa Bay finally won a cup last year. They've probably been the best team 4 out of 5 years and never won, or 5 out of the last 7 and never won. I fight the Oilers. I think Toronto is a vulnerable favorite in the North. I know Campbell's had a terrific, we could call it rookie year. It's really, he's been in the league a while, but this is the first time he's really gotten significant playing time and goal for the Maple Leafs, but he still has a lack of experience, a lack of playoff experience. I think the Oilers at 30-1 had a lot of upside to it, because I think they can come out of the North. And once you get out of the North, then you're in the Final Four. You've created a lot of value with a 30-1 ticket. We did that with the Stars last year, 30-1, and got them to the final, and then we were able to make a lot of money by betting Tampa back in the final. But that's my one play. The Pacific is very interesting in that the Minnesota Wild are sort of a thorn in the side team. They give the Knights a lot of trouble, but they also play Colorado very, very tough. So another team, you know, at big odds, if you want to look at, even maybe playing them in an initial series, looks like they're going to end up against the Avalanche. The Knights will get the one seed and probably play the Blues, with the Wild playing the Avs. You might want to play them there, or maybe play them to come out of the Pacific to win that. To win that division in the playoff. I don't think they can make it beyond that, so I wouldn't bet them as a future to win the cup, but they're an interesting play as well.
All right, but Edmonton, you would say that, 30-1 on Edmonton?
Yeah.
Okay.
Edmonton 30-1. You can still get them around 25-1.
All right, and your Seattle and White Sox picks are first five or full, just because your audio cut out the last time?
Sorry, both first five, and then in soccer we have Lille in France against RC Lens, lane 105 on the three-way. Lille still on top of the table in the French league, right? It's not PSG. This Lille doesn't concede any goals, so I'm back on Lille today.
See, that was the last thing I was going to ask you. I was like, are you still, last time we spoke, you were still betting soccer, but I guess you're still at it? Not as heavy, though?
Oh, God, yes. I'm still, but soccer is still the majority of my action, Gil. I mean, we're just... This Copa Libertadores in the afternoons, the Central and South American soccer, is incredible.
Are you betting them only pre-flop, or are you live betting totals? What are you doing?
Oh, I'm pre-flop totals and live betting totals.
Mike Baum, everybody. When do you have the time, man?
I have a lot of time. I have a lot of time, Gil. You make time for what's important. You get 4 or 5 hours sleep is sufficient.
I was going to say, next time when Mike's on the air, we'll do a whole day schedule of what he actually does at Circa to find out what if Derek Stevens is getting his money's worth. How about we'll do that next time, Mike?
Awesome. I'll be in studio. Next time, give me a little more notice, and I'll come down and visit the South Point.
All right. There you go. Appreciate it, Mike. Thank you so much.
Have a great weekend, Gil.
You too. Mike Palm. Nice to catch up with Mike. Jason said he was looking forward to that more than anything. I haven't talked to Mike Palm in a long time. Either in person, seen him via phone, via text. Mike doing his thing on the nuts. And as he said, he's going to take over the number one chair there, which is not to say that Amal is, when we say one and two, we don't mean it that way. It's just that he'll lead the show. Amal will be every bit as part of the show, if not more, than Mikey will. It's just the way we say it in terminology, so I want to get that straight in case people are like, wait, Amal's getting demoted. No, Amal's not getting demoted, just the way the show's going to flow.
They have great chemistry. I enjoy listening
to
that show.
Good. They're good friends, and they like talking. Those are their sports they love the most, though. Baseball, hockey. If Mike could talk about random soccer leagues around the nation, he would for an hour as well. All right. We got Paul Carr coming up with Premier League picks as well. I failed to mention that. Baseball picks. I got two. I might be Oppo Mike on one of them. Next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
With basketball, hockey, and baseball games every week, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander, by the way. I got some baseball picks, but we should, I don't know if you know this, Jason. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This extends a little bit into yesterday. Pat Locker, MD, talking about the hour with the crack man yesterday. He said, Bill totally pretended to not know OnlyFans. That's the first thing. Did you believe Bill when he said he didn't know what OnlyFans was? He kept calling it fans only.
Yeah. It was a good head fake if he didn't.
Troy Beal, the Bealmeister. This was yesterday, too. He said, what's up with Nadal and pulling on the shorts all the time? He said, maybe get a size bigger. He's referring to Rafael Nadal, who's playing right now, by the way. Part of the parlay that I have going on. Nadal lost the first set, by the way, to Sasha Zverev, 6-4. The King of Clay did. We'll see how that goes. You know how it goes with Nadal. But Troy Beal, one of the other, these guys have ticks. These guys have little quirks on the tennis court. The latest one, Nadal's been doing that his whole career. He pulls on the shorts, then he pulls on his shirt, then he does the thing with his hair. Now his thing is on changeovers. He doesn't walk a straight line to his seat. He walks to the net, somewhere in between the middle of the net and the sideline, or the alley court, rather. He walks right in the middle there to the net, then takes a hard left to his bench. So all these little quirks develop over a career. It's very interesting. Al Cedro about the Wizards last night. See the Wizards finish? Unreal, Gil. Some teams never learn. He's talking about my whole thing where I file away coaches who foul up three and those who don't in the closing seconds. Another three at the end, sending the game to overtime. The books love the move. The Raptors will now win for sure, just idiotic by Brooks. Well, the Raptors did not win. The Wizards got away with it, and they end up winning in overtime over the Raptors last night. They got it done, keeping pace with the Pacers. For those of us who have bets of that, will a 10 seed make the playoffs, which is the one thing I bet offshore, counting on the Wizards to end up with the 10th seed, I didn't need the Wizards to win that game. Pacers got it done against the Hawks, but I did not want that to to happen. So I was hoping that would come back to haunt them. Let's see here. And these from this morning, again, this dovetails with something I was talking about because we had a John Isner match during the show yesterday at tennis. Bob Bush, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Nothing better than waking up and betting an Isner third set over. Joe Murray, I took your advice on Isner total games, was able to get over 24.5. Boom, thank you. I'm telling you, I'll say it again. Even for those of you who don't love betting a sport like tennis, there's nothing in sports betting quite as reliable as Isner overs. And in fact, they will stop dishing those totals because books are hip to it. What's this one? Okay, I don't know what that one's about. We'll read some more later. Okay, my baseball picks. One of them is Oppo. Not Oppo, because Mike Palm's were five-inning bets. But I'm actually on the Royals full game. I'm on the Royals, and it's nothing that Mike Palm said was wrong about Brad Keller. He's been terrible. But I'm going to go with the whole small sample size this year versus what a breadth of a career has shown. And really, Brad Keller's a better pitcher than what he's shown lately. So his 8.06 ERA, that really wasn't his lifetime ERA before that. It was quite good before this. Very credible high threes in his Major League Baseball career. And Carlos Rodon of the White Sox is the opposite of that, which is he has really overperformed his lifetime stats. And good God, his BABIP is 130. His home run to fly ball rate is 5%. Obviously, Rodon, the author of one of the three no-hitters in baseball this year. But at the nice price that I got on the Kansas City Royals, which was plus 135, I'm taking the Royals in that game, going for, again, lifetime pitcher statistics over current form. And then the other one is I got the Giants tonight, also a home dog, hosting the San Diego Padres, Anthony DeSclafani, who has been rock solid this year. Also been fortunate, though, I will admit that, 229 BABIP. But, very good advanced stats, 3.10 FIP, for instance. Hosting the Padres and Blake Snell. Nothing wrong to say about Blake Snell, by the way. Though his walk rate has been high. Don't think I didn't notice that, 12.8%. But again, the Giants at a dog price, just like the Royals were at plus 135, got the Giants at plus 121. I don't think there's any reason for those teams to be, that big of a dog. They're not huge dogs, but I don't think they should be, those prices. I think they should be much less. And in the case of a couple, in the Giants' case, very close to a coin flip. So plus 121 on the Giants, plus 135 on the Royals. Those are my two baseball plays of the day. Try to improve on the 11-7, up three units record on the season. We'll come back. An NBA prop. Yes, no playoffs. On the way, a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
If you missed any of our show today or any of the VSiN broadcasts, be sure to check out free VSiN podcasts. How about that? All of them. You can catch up on Follow the Money, A Numbers Game, The Lombardi Line on the daily VSiN Best Bets podcast. Also, check in with my Beating the Book pod. How about that? A little Beating the Book love. Jason, how about that?
Fantastic. People should check in.
Josh Applebaum's Market Insights. Get PGA Tour betting previews on Long Shots. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod and the NBA Scoop with JVT on Hardwood Handicappers. Whatever you're betting on, we have a pod for it. Find them all for free at VSiN.com/podcasts. That's VSiN.com/podcasts. Gil Alexander. So Brian Windhorst was on with Matt and JVT on Follow the Money this morning. And one of the things I caught at the very end there, JVT asked about, which awards were still up. Well, he asked specifically, will Julius Randle get most improved player? And Brian Windhorst said yes. And then Brian Windhorst said the only award that he feels is still up for grabs is Coach of the Year, which I completely agree with. And he said he mentioned some of the things that I mentioned when I first brought up Tom Thibodeau, head coach of the Knicks at the time, when Thibodeau was 20-1, and then he actually went back to 25-1 that night. So this is like a month or 6 weeks ago, however it was the first time we mentioned it. And one of the things I said, which Windhorst echoed this morning, was don't ever forget about the East Coast bias on these bettors, right? Like, I know out here in Nevada, where we're sort of obsessed with things like the Mountain West Conference, we lose sight of that kind of thing. So whenever there's an award, that's in play. But what he said was also absolutely right. I mentioned this on Primetime Action the other night. Think about how you feel about the New York Knicks right now. If you look at the NBA standings, they're in fourth place in the Eastern Conference, right? And they've been there for a bit now. 37-29. Two games in the loss column ahead of the Hawks, Celtics, and Heat. Those three teams right now in the who can stay out of the play-in situation thing. But if you look at the Knicks schedule, right? So this is my comment on Primetime Action, which I do with Matt Brown, Daniel Alvari, and Kelly Bidlin the other night was, think about the narrative of what the Knicks are right now. This could change wildly in the next week. And while I call the Wizards the proverbial team you do not want to play in a play-in, I think the Knicks are the team you absolutely want to play in a play-in. But the Knicks' next game, they play tonight at Phoenix. Then they are at the Clippers. Then they're at the Lakers. That on the heels of being at Denver and getting, you know, crunched on Wednesday. So, you know, that's in front of them. They could easily fall into a play-in situation if they're not careful. By the way, they close home at San Antonio, home at Charlotte, home against the Celtics. Who knows what who'll be playing in that final game against the Celtics. But the Celtics are one of those teams in the scrum, again, for trying to stay out of a play-in situation. So you would think they would be motivated as we look at the Eastern Conference standings. So this is where it really gets interesting for the NBA. But again, just think about how we feel. What a season it's been for the Knicks. And I agree with what Brian Windhorst said with JVT and Matt on Follow the Money this morning, which is if the Knicks can somehow navigate this last week and stay as the fourth seed, and I throw it to you, Jason, because I know you have basketball bets, but if the Knicks stayed fourth in the Eastern Conference and it was Tom Thibodeau as the coach of the fourth-seeded Knicks versus whoever wins the Western Conference regular season, either Quinn Snyder coaching the Jazz or Monty Williams coaching the Suns, at that point, would you give it to Thibodeau?
I've liked Thibodeau kind of all along. I think bringing a team, especially like the Knicks, from obscurity into a fourth place in the standings was unexpected by most people. I think people expected Utah and probably even Phoenix to improve a little bit, whereas the Knicks, nobody really expected the improvement.
But no one expected Phoenix to be this high.
Phoenix went 8-0 in the bubble last year, right? Didn't they play really well?
They did.
And then they got Chris Paul.
But even when they got Chris Paul, like most of the consensus was, well, that'll get him an eighth seed, right? I mean, it was like no one was thinking Phoenix would do this. Like, how soon we forget on that? So I guess my answer to the question that I myself posed is, that's the only way Thibodeau can win this. Right, if they get fourth, then it's a conversation. But man, if they start falling this week, and again, the games I just lined out, they could easily do that, and they end up in a play-in, I think that goes out the window immediately.
For sure. Everybody's been anticipating Knicks regression all season. It just really hasn't happened.
I mean, look, 6 games left in the season. It's amazing what they've done, 37-29. By the way, I mentioned yesterday, so there was one, and when I say dip a toe in it, not only dip a pinky toe, but dip a pinky toe for like a nanosecond. There was a prop up offshore that was taken down. I mean, it was hours. It wasn't even a day up, which was, will a 10th seed make the playoffs? Playoffs defined as the top 8 seeds after the play-in. And I bet the yes on the East at plus 351, I think it was, because I'm just hoping it's the Wizards that end up 10th, and then I think they'll win 2 games and get in. But the Pacers, you know, and the Wizards play tomorrow night. That's going to have a lot to determine that outcome. Because, again, I'm less worried about the Wizards winning two once they get to a play-in than I am them actually finishing 10th. That's where my real concern is, because I don't want Indiana. But what you can bet, that one that, you know, will 10th seed make the playoffs just doesn't exist at this point. But what you can bet is yes-nos on certain teams to make the playoffs. And we ran through this on Primetime Action last night. With Matt, Danielle, and Kelly, this is, you know, yes-nos on some random teams, both in the Eastern and Western Conference. And I think the answer to my question here is, if you had to pick one yes or one no, and this is Warriors, Hornets, Pacers, Wizards, and Spurs, this is courtesy of FanDuel. The reason that I like a prop like this, again, much like I like an NIT, who's going to win the NIT prop, anything that requires more than one layer of thinking. I love what team is not good enough to make the big dance in March Madness, but good enough to care and win the NIT. I love stuff like that. Here, there's a lot of moving parts, right? Because will they make the playoffs? First of all, defined as, again, the top 8 after the play-in. Remember, 7 plays 8, the winner of which gets the 7 seed, the loser of which will play the winner of 9-10 for a chance to get the 8th seed. So if you finish 9-10, you got to win twice. If you finish 7-8, you got to lose twice to be knocked out. In the West, you know, Warriors, yes, no. Do you think the Warriors are good enough to navigate through a play-in situation?
I think that's about all they're good to navigate through.
Well, I'm just saying there's no bet there to be made. I guess what I'm saying is if you force me to make a bet here, Spurs, by the way, have to still contend with the Pelicans. They're only up 2 in the loss column there for the final spot in a play-in situation in the West. But if you're asking me which yes I would play here or which no, I think the Wizards plus 184 would still be. So imagine my plus 350 something was, will a 10 seed get there? I have the extra layer there that they have to end up as a 10 seed. But here it's just yes, no playoffs. I think the Wizards plus 184 is probably the best yes bet of the quintet of teams here. And I think the best no bet is the Pacers at minus 215. Because that team will be in a play-in, but they are team turmoil right now.
They're falling apart from the inside.
From the inside. Got all kinds of internal problems. By the way, they ended up crushing the Hawks last night, even with all that. Sustainable, though, through a play-in? I don't think so. I'd bet the minus 215 no on the Pacers. That's probably my favorite bet on the board. Thank you, FanDuel, for that. We'll come back. Premier League picks from Paul Carr right here in a numbers game at VSiN. He's on fire, by the way. The Sports Betting Network.
To a numbers game with Gil Alexander.
Baseball players may not get style points for home runs, but baseball bettors do. New BetMGM customers can turn $1 into $100 when someone goes yard during a game. Sign up for the BetMGM app using VSIN100, and if you place a $1 money line wager on the Yankees or the Nationals, you'll get $100 if either team hits a homer. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager, rather. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. In Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789. Promotional offer not available in the state of Nevada. Skill Alexander, ladies and gentlemen, this man has been on fire. And let me just say this about sports betting, because we've all been there. If you've bet this long enough, you've had horrific streaks. You've had fabulous streaks. What Paul Carr is on right now is a fabulous streak, also with the assist of just living right. Can we say that? Is that fair, Paul?
Absolutely. I think it's 7 in a row between Champions League and Premier League on your show. And yeah, a couple of those. Chelsea could have had 4 goals in that game on Wednesday.
4.
But they didn't.
Yes.
It worked out well for us.
But they did not, which is the key bit of information we needed to cash the bet. I would have said 6 goals, but that's like 3 in a row now. What was it, the PSG one where they were up and then Man City came back with 2 goals later?
Yep.
There was the one game where there was 2 goals scored early and then nothing happened. And then, yes, this was a 6 goals, could have been scored, but you're right, but they weren't.
And I'll also add, if Chelsea converts one of those early opportunities to get that second goal, they might shut it down.
They might shut it down.
Chicken, egg, something dilemma going on there. So yeah, it could have easily been a lot worse, and it could easily have played out exactly as we wanted it to.
It kind of did. I wanted you to know that the whole time that I was watching this and I was with you on the under, I jumped on your play. I was on text with someone who had the over, and it's fascinating, right? It's fascinating to observe that. I just kept my mouth shut the whole time. I didn't text anything back. He's like, this is such an over game. I'm like, okay, betting that.
That's great.
Yeah.
They're breaking things, and you're just smiling.
I'm just smiling. I just keep my mouth shut like, yep, it's kind of tough to put the biscuit in the basket if it were easy. So good for you. 7 in a row. Now, no one expects you to go 10 in a row here because you're given 3-pack of picks for the Premier League, right?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, we'll take it, obviously. But yeah, things also get weird. We're at the point of the Premier League season where there's 4 or 5 games left and they're playing them all in about 2 weeks. So things can get strange in these last couple of weeks here.
Was that which Austin Powers was that when he goes, things got weird?
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Things got weird, didn't they? Okay, before we get into your three-pack, by the way, I am on your Royals today. I'm on Brad Keller against the White Sox and Carlos Rodon, plus 135. Don't let me down is what I'm saying, Paul.
Yeah, we need good Keller to come back. The Royals are going to turn things around out of this five-game skid. They need Keller to get back. Yeah. He's shown a couple flashes in a couple games this season, but he's not there where he was last year.
But you said it. That was part of my play. The good Keller to come back. It's like, right. Am I going to base this on the 22 and a third innings I've seen of him this year? Maybe he'll stink again tonight, but I'm going to go with the breadth of his young career. Okay.
I hope you win.
Thank you, sir. I hope so, too. Three-pack, let's start with the first.
All right. We're starting today. We're getting this weekend started. Leicester City, Newcastle today. So, again, to the motivations of teams and what they're playing for and all that, Leicester pretty much has to win this. They are in a battle for the top four race. They have a tough schedule after this, their last three games of Man United, Chelsea, Tottenham. So this is the game Leicester's got to get 3 points from. Newcastle is not quite safe from relegation, but they're not really in a desperation mode either. So Newcastle last week against Arsenal just was mailing it in. So I think we see more of the same here. I like Leicester on the goal line, -1.5. Getting plus 115 for me. Leicester's been kind of pushing. They've outshot the last couple opponents 53-13 over those two games, and those were relatively bad teams kind of in the Newcastle vein. Again, Newcastle had 12 shots in the last two games, so they're, you know, they look like they're ready for the beach. I like Leicester minus a goal and a half here.
All right, so let's flesh out something we just said here, just for those who want context. And again, the pick is Leicester City minus a goal and a half versus Newcastle. Always shop around for the price here. Paul got plus 115. Newcastle, 9 points clear of relegation with four games to play. So probably safe, but well noted. So they're in other words, 17th place of a 20-team league.
Yep. You look at some of the projections, they're at like 4% to get relegated. Like Fulham basically has to win their last four games, and they've got a couple tough ones left. So yeah, so Newcastle could be relegated technically, but like everything has to fall into place over the last four games.
Okay, but the Leicester City side of it is they're in third place. By the way, no one's catching Man City. Man City's winning this. Leicester City's in third place. They're 5 points clear of fifth place West Ham. But what you're saying is after this game, it's brutality. So they better win here. And they know that.
Their next game is Manchester United and Chelsea, who is currently in second and fourth. So those would not only would Leicester not get points, those other two teams would gain points and extend or jump them potentially. So, yeah, this is where Leicester's got to make the hay and make those last three games much less dramatic.
Gotcha. By the way, it's Paul Carr, everybody, from the Expected Value podcast, I should point out. Didn't even properly introduce you. You can follow him on Twitter at Paul C-A-R-R. Oh, there's a Chelsea game next. What could this be?
We are going to keep riding this train here of Chelsea under 2.5 or the game under 2.5. Now, this is weird also because they're playing Manchester City here. And A, they played a couple weeks ago in an FA Cup semifinal, and B, they're now going to play in the Champions League final in about 3 weeks. So this is kind of strange that they're playing again. But I'm going to stick on the under train here. And I admit this is sort of a reflex pick because 21 of 24 games for Chelsea under Tuchel have gone under. But also, like Chelsea, a 0-0 draw, a 1-1 draw, Chelsea's all in on that. You know, give them a point and run with it. So that's what I like here is the under. I think Man City wins this because, you reference this, Man City wins this, they win the title. It's over, officially. So I think we're looking at kind of a 1-0, 2-0 City win. I don't really like the price of minus 110 for City, though. So I think I'm going to play the under, or I am going to play the under. Under 2.5, minus 140 is my price. And this is kind of a throw up in my mouth pick. It could go horribly wrong and get strange, but I'm going to keep riding the train.
Dan Bespris wants his 15 cents for that. I just always trip off this, right? Like, so Man City and Chelsea now playing in a totally different context, the Premier League, as opposed to what they just played in. It's just so weird, again, for an American sports fan to wrap their heads around this. Do you know, because it's like, are the players as motivated for one, you know, as they are for the other? Or would you say at this point, you know, again, for a team like Man City, okay, they're trying to clinch this. Chelsea, they're right in the scrum to get in that Champions League qualifying thing for next year, too. So both teams are highly motivated. It's just, like, imagine the different mindset. Or is there? Are these guys so compartmentalized, they're like, I'm just playing a soccer game?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to players about this, and they say, you know, look, you're that high a level, and you're that competitive, and you're that good, just in general, that it doesn't really matter. But I just have to think there's some sort of, whether it's an approach or, you know, Chelsea just knocked Real Madrid out and got to a Champions League final, and they beat City in an FA Cup semifinals. Like, those are huge games. I have to feel like there's some sort of emotional letdown after that. I mean, players, the ones I've talked to at least, they say there isn't, but I mean, just they're human. There's got to be something going on there. I don't know that it plays out as much as we think it could or should, but I have to think that something mentally or an approach is different for a game like this.
I guess it's just normal to them. It's like, I mean, you're just trying to think, what's the equivalent? Oh, the Chiefs are playing the Buccaneers, but now they're playing them not in the NFL. They're playing in some international tournament. They'll play in the NFL next week. It's just the oddest, you know.
The closest thing I can think of is, like, you know, you play college basketball, you play someone in the conference tournament, you know, in like the quarters, the semis.
It's the closest thing. Yeah.
The one seed loses, but, you know, they didn't look like they're up for it. And then you happen to run into each other in the NCAA tournament 2 weeks later, you know, deeper in, and, you know, the better team is the better team, something like that. But yeah, there's not a great comparison.
Not a great comparison. All right. And the third one is?
All right. So we're going to Sunday here. This is another take the good team against the bad team situation. Arsenal against West Brom. West Brom will be relegated with a loss, could be relegated with other results too. Arsenal has pounded a couple of bad teams lately. I think they will keep doing that here. I'm taking Arsenal on the goal line, -1 against West Brom at -125. They beat Newcastle, Fulham, and Sheffield in the last month. Arsenal did, all bad teams. Two of those wins were by multiple goals. The other one really should have been, given the chances Arsenal created. And yeah, West Brom, again, they're pretty much done. I know you could say, oh, they're going to fight for relegation in that, but I mean, they have like a 0.5% chance of staying up because they're in next to last place. They'd have to get by Fulham and one other team somehow. So I like Arsenal here. I think they just got to crush West Brom and keep on moving.
Okay. The three picks, once again, Leicester City, that's today, giving up a goal and a half versus Newcastle. Tomorrow, Chelsea under. That's all you have to remember. That's how you remember Man City, Chelsea under 2.5. And then Arsenal, also on Sunday. Arsenal and West Brom. Actually, it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday thing. Chelsea's tomorrow. Sunday, Arsenal over West Brom. Arsenal -1. And just the final question here, Premier League standings. Sheffield United, with four games left, has 17 points. They're 5-2-27. Have there been worse Premier League seasons than that?
Off the top of my head, I think the worst kind of in the modern era, I want to say it's 18 points by Derby County in 2008. There's a couple. Yeah, they're in, and their underlying numbers aren't quite that bad, but it's pretty close. Yeah, they're in that bottom tier. There was a Huddersfield team that was terrible a few years ago. They're in that bottom tier of teams that we've seen. And it's funny because they were, you know, like middle of the table pretty solidly last year, and then just, you know, it's one of those things where everything goes wrong, the wheels come off, and it's just a terrible downward cycle for Sheffield.
Yeah, Derby County that year, back 2008, 32 league games in a row without a win.
That was dreadful.
Yeah, that might be the one. 38 game season. They had 29 defeats with just one victory in 38 games. So they still are. So it was That's a 1-8-29.
That's worse than I remembered.
1-8-29. So 5-2-27. Way better than that.
They're blowing them out of the water. Goodness. Yeah.
All right. Three pack. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Good luck this weekend.
All right. Thank you. Same to you.
Paul Carr from the Expected Value Podcast, inside the sports analytics world. Available where all podcasts are distributed. We'll talk baseball. We've already had some picks from Mike Palm, myself. Mark Borchard's got some on the way. We'll do that. And Vinny Maliulo. It's a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network.